Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Be here as always.
With your Diet Coke.
I know, I'm a little jealous.
With my Diet Coke. I know. I'm down to like... I try to limit myself to like three a week, but
I thought you were going to say 3 days. You'd be like, well, I mean, I'm
a little disappointed. If you were having more than that, then
I was going to say three. I mean, three a week. That's probably what I'm
three
at.
3 a week is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 a week is good. So far I've never succeeded. I've had like, you know, five a week, but hey, little steps, right?
Sometimes you need to have at least one a day. Like, a little treat never hurt anybody.
Exactly.
I mean, you could, like, I'm sorry, eating a sleeve of Oreos, which I've been doing, with my coffee daily. That can't be.
You know what? You're valid for that. You do whatever. There's so little joy in this world. Just eat.
So true. If a Diet Coke's going to bring happiness to your heart and soul, then fucking drink the Diet Coke.
Exactly. And Diet Coke does do that for my soul, at least. So,
yes. So, okay. So anyway, we have Tara DeWitt here, who's like, I mean, obviously a fan favorite because we talk about you all the time.
I've only been officially on this once or twice, but I feel like I've been on it so many times because I just like talking with you guys.
Yes. And we, like, talk about you all the time, and then I tag you and everything that we're talking about, like how, you know, you deserve head all the time, and
you're a champ. You're a champ at it, so you do it very well, and honestly, I just think you guys.
But, you know.
I think that, I mean, you guys have just excellent taste, so thank you.
I know. I mean, obviously, we're here to talk about Savor It, but you also are the author of Root Bound and The Co-op and Funny Feelings. I mean, yeah, like, we have loved everything that you've done, but Savor It, like, now has, like, another special place in our heart. Sage and Fisher are just...
Like, I've never contemplated... We talked about an umbrella tattoo. I'm cutting you off.
Yeah.
We talked about an umbrella tattoo. But I've never contemplated a goose tattoo before.
Oh.
But now there's a
box. I know. And somebody showed me their goose tattoo that they didn't get it for Savor It, but they have a silly goose tattoo. And I was man, I have a whole list of them that when I find a person, I want to do an umbrella for Funny Feelings. I want a little cowboy hat for Root Bound. I want a little octopus for The Co-op. I want a little canoe for Savor It. But then I was like, man, do I have to get two? Because Gary he's a fan favorite.
I feel like Gary can be in the canoe holding an umbrella with like
wear a cowboy. Yeah. Him and a little octopus inside a canoe. The octopus will wear a cowboy hat.
Yes.
He'll hold the umbrella. And there we go. What am I going to do when I keep writing books?
Just keep adding
to the scenes. I actually this is my bookshelf. So we were going to move, and we decided to stay put for a few more months here. So in my haste to kind of like reorganize, because I'm having a baby in the beginning of August, my first thought was, it is crucial that I redo my bookshelves. And my husband was like, how about the closets? So I was like, bookshelf. And I just made myself a Tara DeWitt little section. You're dead set.
Oh my gosh. I love that so much.
I won't even pretend that I don't love it. I love to be in front and center. That makes me so happy. So you're going to have a Leo baby, probably.
I have a Leo baby, yes.
Congrats. We're great.
I have a Taurus, which is I laugh because I'm a Taurus. So I'm like, oh, cool. Me and my daughter will just butt heads for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have a Leo.
Mm-hmm. Hey, my sister's a Taurus and I'm a Leo, so.
Oh, that's perfect.
I love. You get along now.
Now. Keyword is now.
Yeah. Keyword is now.
You don't love your sister that much. I mean, you love her, but like you hate her more. At least that's how I felt.
That's when you're younger. Yeah, absolutely.
I only have an older brother and we get along fine, but I feel like the dynamic between sisters is a little different.
Yes.
It's so different. It's so different. They're the most, your sister can say, knows exactly what your biggest insecurity is. And when they want to go for it, they're cutthroat. Mm-hmm.
But then, like, home. Like, oh my god, I love you so much. Can you do this for me? And I'm like,
yeah,
bitch, about that, freaking.
Oh, my sister and I would have just the most gut wrenching, awful, heinous fight ever. And you know, I was older, so I had my license before her. And then I'd feel bad, and I'd go in her room and just be like, "Do you want to go get Taco Bell?" And she'd be like, "Fine."
And then we were you're done. Literally the epitome of my sister and me, so I did the same thing with
her. And you're the older one.
Awful, and then I'm the older one. I'd be like, all right, stand in the fucking car, let's go get like Taco Bell.
Yeah, let's just go somewhere. And then we're fine.
Buy me beer. And I'm like, maybe you can fuck off.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Meanwhile, my brother was buying beer. Like,
yeah, there you go. Exactly. That's the difference.
Yes. Yeah, no, I love older brothers. Speaking of older brothers, I am so excited for the next book, which I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Let's not.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We were talking about Saber It originally.
We were talking about Saber It. I was going to say, I'll get ahead of myself at the end because I do want to hear about Ren and Ellis and what we can expect. But I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but it is your book. So let's just get like a little synopsis of it from you.
Okay. I keep reusing Julie Soto's blurb for it, and because right when she said it, I was like, oh my God, you're going to sell me so many books, Julie. That's perfect. She said it was like Schitt's Creek and the bear had a love child.
Yeah.
So we've got Fisher, who's a burnt out chef who recently got fired from his Michelin-starred job and also lost one of his stars. He's been tasked on consulting on a new restaurant opening out on the Oregon coast. In a sort of budding tourist town. Sage is a school teacher during the school year, and she also has a hobby farm. And Fisher moves to the rental next door for the summer. He also recently became the guardian for his niece, Indy. So he lost his sister. His sister died. So he's going through a whole lot. Dude, I really put him through it. I say it out loud, I'm like, Jesus. He's going through it. His niece is a teenager too, so she was fun to write.
Yep.
But Sage herself is kind of sick of the small town dynamics that she's going through a little bit, in that people sort of have her pegged in one box, and she was dumped like a year before the story takes place by her 5-year relationship. He's already engaged. So she just needs a win. And after a sort of meet cute disaster where they meet for the first time, Sage sort of says, all right, well, how about we help each other out? I'll help you with, you know, figuring out a menu. Because she catches him sort of bringing home stuff that people in that town are not going to be interested in.
Yeah.
And she asks him to help her in their town festival. So they make a mutual deal for the summer.
I love it. It is a little fake datey, but they don't go extreme with it, which I appreciate. Because sometimes it makes me like a little sad where like the characters are like, oh, are they just doing this? Like, because whatever. Yeah. But
I think he could just identify that she needs a little bit of like a morale boost.
Yes.
And
yes.
You know what? I love that you have him in therapy. I feel like this was like a very wholesome. I can't profess how much I love this book. And eyeball read it, and then we listened to it. And like, amazing pick on the narrators.
The other day, I was like, I mean,
they have such life.
Zachary Weber. I mean, I talk about Jacob Morgan, the same person.
Yeah,
all the time. But Carissa, I don't think, right? That's who, yeah. I don't think I ever listened to an audiobook by her.
But she was,
so good. Like, she brought Sage to life in a way that I, like, wasn't expecting.
Yes. And I love when they do a nice man voice, too.
Yeah.
But they just, I have never been able to listen to one of my audiobooks from start to finish, mainly because a lot of the time, just inflection and what you intended to say comes out in a different rhythm, or just it's said differently, and it's hard to, like, reconcile that with your brain. This is the first time I've ever listened to a full audiobook of one of my books, and it's also the first time that I turned in a book so long before it actually came out that it was sort of like getting to read it for the first time again. And when I did get to listen to it, and it's just so good. I tagged Zachary Weber in something, and after I listened to it for the first time, I just said, "I'm so sorry to both of you that you had to listen to my bad jokes." And he was like, "No, that was great." And he was so committed, especially at the end when he has to play like a crying teenager. And he absolutely nailed it. So super happy with that. I like listening to it be read how you intended it is such a cool experience. I've listened to it like 3 times now. It's kind
of such a heart. I like can't like I don't have good words. But, like I just it was so heartwarming to me. Like it was like it just made me like I feel like I was getting like a hug.
I was gonna say it kind of felt like coming home in a way. Like. That, like, I know these people, and I'm, like, watching, like, one of my best friends, like, finally get this, like, epic kind of love story.
And you know what's nice, too?
I love that.
Like, I do love a book where you know, like, we see these female main characters with boss-ass bitches who, like, go conquer the world. Like, there's also, like, another side to females who are very happy being in their hometown. And, like, they're okay with, like, the fact that they're living in the home that they grew up with, and that was their passion. It's not like we're settling here. Like, this was everything that Sage ever wanted for herself. And I think that's really nice to hone in on also. Like, I mean, as someone who thought they were supposed to go career Barbie route and then kind of was like, the fuck, I don't want that life. Like, I'm pretty cool. Yeah. Like, you know, being who I am and, like, just living my life as it is. Like, you can take all you want from the outside. But, like, I mean, I don't live in my hometown. Well, but I have.
I really...
I'm cool with that. Like,
yes.
Yeah, like, it's okay to be content with, like, who you are, and if it's simplistic to somebody else, fuck you, but, like, it's happiness to me, and like, that's how I feel like Sage is. Like, this is who I am, take it or leave it, and I'm happy with it.
Exactly.
Like, oh, girl.
Yeah, exactly. She was such a joy to write, mainly because, there are things that, like, Fisher sort of challenges her on, like, okay, well, what if you want more? It's okay to want more, too, but I think that, you know, we spend so much time, like, I'll be happy, like, saying this thing, like, I'll be happy when, or, you know, when I'm finished with this, when I get to this point, and if I accomplish this, when I have this much money, whatever it is, you build up a picture of what you think you want your life to be, and life usually doesn't give a fuck about those plans. Like, that was the whole point of this book for me, and so some things were a risk, I felt like, you know, especially kind of toward the end. But, like, I really wanted to write this idea of, like, some people have things happen and it does change your perspective on your life. Like, you do have what is within your control. If you spend all this time, like, building up this picture of your life and I'll be happy when I get that, you can do everything you're supposed to do to get it and something will still change along the way to where that's not, it's no longer an option. It's not going to happen. So if you spend all this time thinking like, okay, I'll be happy when, then you rob yourself of so much joy in the actual like doing in the daily life. Like your life shouldn't only ever need a vacation from your life. Not every day is going to be fun. That's, you know, we're not all manic pixie dream girls over here thinking that every day has to be just magic. It's not. Some days are stupid and, you know, you have more shitty things that happen than good, but I really wanted, it was almost more challenging to write somebody like Sage, I think, because she's hopeful, because she doesn't have like this gaping obvious wound, but she has like a fierce determination, yep. and you know, just a very like, nope, this is what's within my control. This is what's within my reach. This is what I'm gonna, you know, make the most of.
The one quote. Well, first off, I also want a line of the robes that she wears. Like, I.
Oh my god.
But like, I also, as someone who is a bit quirky, like, I appreciate giving us a quirky female main character. Like,
thank you.
You're not afraid to wear what you want to wear. Like, and it doesn't matter if there's happy when wet written across your shirt like that. Like, you're just gonna own it. And like, but like, I think she says it like in this. You had an amazing quote where she kind of like goes after Fisher and she's kind of like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm gonna do something that's nice for somebody else because I want to at the end of the day. Like, if it's gonna bring joy to somebody else, like a sweet old lady, then like, so fucking be it. Like, judge me all you want, but like, I'm doing this for me, but I'm also knowing that like, I'm helping someone who also has cared about me and like giving me some like insight into life. And I, like, it was just a really powerful, I'm butchering your words, so I apologize. But
it was so beautiful.
And I was like, I don't know. Like, there was a lot of like wholesome good moments in this book. And I was like, this is just, I don't know. It's like speaking to my soul right now. Like,
yeah.
Like, everyone needs a dose of that. Like, be happy with what you're in. Kind of like what you're saying. Like, be happy with what you're in. It's okay to like, be content with where you are. You don't need to go reach the stars if you want to, but life doesn't always kind of pan out that way. So just be happy.
No, it doesn't. And it's okay if you have like, I hate to use this quote just because of this song, but it's okay if you have a little life, you know, like it doesn't mean that it's any less meaningful. You don't know how many people you touch in the little things that you do every day and the people that matter to you. Like, I find, especially, you know, sometimes like with social media and that kind of stuff, we prioritize these like relationships or these arbitrary things online that like these people, you know, I don't get as likes from these people that like I don't know, or you know, things like that, to where it's like, okay, but I have real people in my life and people that like I've met and made and actual relationships. Why would I care about, why do I want to spend that much energy on that? But it takes like a sort of a determination to refocus your thinking that way. And I felt like that's what I was going through, a little bit of what Fisher was going through, but I was trying to be more like Sage when I was writing it. So
I was going
to
say, I think we can all take a page out of Sage's book, technically, her Sage Advice book. I think too, where we live specifically, like in like the New York tri-state area, a lot of like what people put a lot of
pressure.
Or like, the only way you're successful is if you're making money or if you're like have a certain job, and
you're living, you know, in a certain
right. And I'm like, you could be making $300,000 a year and be a terrible person. I would rather be making like 30K a year and like have a like fulfilling life outside of that, because you're like, you know, literally like what you two just said, you're not going to find happiness in a job if you're only looking at like, well, if I do this, I'll be happy, or if I do this, I'll be happy, or if I finally get here, I'll be happy, because you're not surrounding yourself with the things that really matter in life. And it takes Fisher kind of, you know, going to Oregon and meeting a quirky little neighbor to kind of understand that, you know, he can be happy, and kind of finding what will make him happy and not putting all of that pressure on himself. And even, I mean, I like the fact that he's willing to work on himself, but also put his happiness on the back burner because he wants to make sure that Indy is getting what she needs and like prioritizing. Because I think that's like when you finally see him in a more like parental role versus just like the fun uncle.
Yes, exactly. Well, and for me, it was like how starting to parent around a teenager at that age, that would have been like the most, what the hell am I doing? I wouldn't know the first thing about it, especially as like a single man. I can imagine how that would be like, all right, how am I supposed to be like cool with you and also keep you safe and parent. And part of that is like, he, you know, and he doesn't know the right thing to do. But he chose before not to put Indy first. And now that time he has to. And like for me, a lot of that too, and just in what you were saying, is him realizing that he was also still in a way like living his life for other people that don't necessarily matter to him. Whereas Sage is like, okay, so maybe I'm living my life for the people that do matter to me, but maybe I'm still living it a little bit too much for them.
Yeah.
But I'm getting what I can out of it. Like he challenged her to see that, but even him, he's like in a, you know, backwards kind of way, I was still living for those people. For other people that don't matter to me, like because of I thought that if I was better than them, you know, I'd be happier than them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was I really liked this idea of, you know, our goals and what we want out of things change. Like you can think of this. Like you said, you can make 300 grand a year, and in your mind, at one point, you probably thought, if I'm making 300 grand a year and I'm here and living in this house and whatever, you know, I'm going to be, nothing's going to be wrong. Life's still going to shit on your plans a lot. And that's not going to be the thing that makes you happy.
No. And I like something else that I like love that you did, kind of switching gears like a little bit, but I think it's in the first chapter, you like have a quote and it's Sage being like, saying how like, she's like, even though she is alone, she's rarely lonely. And then towards the end, you have kind of the quote of like with Fisher, she realizes that now she feels more lonely. Like with like, you know, coming to terms with the fact that he's like leaving and how like, you know, she was kind of content, but now knowing that she could have so much more, she wants it. And you kind of see like, that like spark in her a little bit.
Yeah.
I like just like love like the contrast between like her in the beginning and kind of like, you know, when she's falling in love and how like her feelings are changing about like all of those things in her life.
It was fun to go.
I love that bit.
Like there's a lot of books again when you're reading the characters both, and there's like a ton of development to work through. And like you already meet Fisher, who's kind of like a work in progress, right? Like he's reflected on so much in his life. He is already in therapy, kind of helping himself to like better himself and Indy's futures. Like he's kind of running these motions. And then you have like a Sage who I think can recognize some things about herself, but just maybe needs a little bit more of a boost. But you still give us like a good development for both in like individual concepts. And I don't know, I just feel like it was still very different than like the typical, but like, there was still that good growth with both of them, and then them together, like they still are able to maintain individuality, but like still come together really well in the end. I don't know. I just, again, like it was just like a really,
They are like the poster children for what good communication is. Like,
thank you. I know, it's always a challenge to get them because get them to a point, but like, I do try really hard to justify them getting to a point where they can't communicate, and I still try to make sure there's stakes, because for me like I really like this idea of people don't heal other people, and people that are still a little broken can still be loved and or still be loved, and they can love people fully. So I don't necessarily want to write somebody that heals through being loved by somebody else. I want them to be on a journey for it and realize that they deserve that sort of love and can openly give it. So that's always a little bit of a challenge. Like for me, especially in the beginning of this book, I try to plop everybody in the small town and then just sort of tell you as we're going, like there's an element of world building to the place. And then I'm also trying to like get everybody on their journey, but also give you all the necessary background information. And so it's a little bit, I usually like to plop everybody immediately into my plots and into my books, but like this one, I kind of had, it was definitely like, this is what summer is going to feel like. Mm-hmm. It always feels like you've got a whole summer stretched out before you and all kinds of possibilities. And then all of a sudden, by the end, you're like grasping at the days and like, oh my God, it's speeding up. I need it to slow down. And that's sort of, you know, I didn't even realize that the whole book is kind of a pun, like the in and of itself. Like somebody was like, yeah, you named her Sage because she's kind of on the other side of this journey for herself. And like, you know, she still has room to grow, but like, she's, you know, full of all that sage advice and stuff like that. And then Fisher is like a fish out of water. And I was like, I didn't do that on purpose, but I'm going to pretend I did.
Even in the end, like, I like that he's still left, you know, for Indy's sake. And even probably a little bit so for him as well. Yeah. Like, you need to kind of go back to your roots. I love that Sage was very understanding and accepting of the decision. Again, it just, these are two adults that, like, sometimes you need to try to figure out your paths. And I also like that you wrote her as, like, yeah, like, am I upset? Sure, absolutely. Like, do I miss the guy?
Yeah, I'm 100%.
Crushed. You're so crushed. But, like, I'm still also going to carry on. Like, he helped me kind of rediscover some good things for myself, and I'm going to do it. Like, I like that you still gave them purpose.
I was going to say, she's a stronger woman than me, because I would be, like, downing, like, a bottle of wine, calling him, leaving crying in his mouth. Like, come back! I said that. Or, like, you
too. Like, maybe I'll just move everything there. Oh, I know. That's always the part that's like, I have to like add the most justification to it. And so I have to like make it so that you would believe that from the beginning, from who she is and like who you see her become. And you do see like, I love my life. I love my this. I love that. I love my town. I love my, you know, animals. I love, so like, I try to give enough justification there so that it's believable. And then same for Fisher, like he wanted, you know, he had something to prove to himself, and a part of that was showing that, you know, believing that he would make the right choices and put Indy first. And so it was a whole the whole like third act breakup writing. I was a wreck writing that, just because it was awful. I'm like, man, maybe I can skip it. Maybe they don't. Maybe he doesn't leave. Maybe he just drives down, you know, maybe he just gets one state over and then he changes their mind. And I was like, I can't do it. I have to make them go through it. And it was painful, but it was worth it because, I think that they were worth it to each other.
They were. I just loved like their banter also between the readings and stuff. I'm just like, this is just actually my personal favorite. Speaking of teenagers, I mean, like, I don't have a teenager, I have a 1-year-old, so vastly different. But we were all teenagers once upon a time.
Yes.
And like,
try to forget about it.
Sometimes I really do. But like, I can only imagine now as a parent, like, which your kids are obviously older. I can, like, when Fisher's like watching the clock, he's like, where the fuck is Indy? Like, what is going on? Like, he didn't like really kind of say a curfew. Like, you're learning as you go. And then he like storms over to Sage. He's like,
oh yeah.
Like, track them. Like, you call them. Like, sheer panic. Can't even like, get words out of your mouth type moment.
It really was, like,
it reminded me of, like...
No, so it was giving me, like, I mean, we just talked about siblings in the beginning. I'm like, if my brother all of a sudden had to take care of a teenager, like, God forbid.
Oh, my God.
This would be him. Like, he would be neurotic and, like, not... And he'd want to be, like, cool, but then, like, not too cool.
But not. But then, you finally...
You
reach your cool threshold where you're like, you took advantage of me. And you would kind of lose your, I loved writing that, but mainly because it's like, I wanted, part of like writing a small town for me was like, I want to be a little tongue in cheek about with it. Like, you can poke fun at some of the stuff without making it, you know, like paying homage to it. Like some of the things about small town romances that we love, while also like being a little bit self-aware of it. So that I really loved like having Sage be like, you know, meeting him at his, you know, condescending banter, like, I was conceived in that pumpkin patch.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that part.
Oh, she though, she had some great moments. And I love like his like reluctance to the small town, and then you just like
he's
just like opening up to it. And then the end when he's like sleeping in the barn with the two baby goats.
Oh my God.
I died.
Like, I know. I was like, this is indulgent, but I need it.
So I needed it. And there's like, that was like one of like the first, I don't want to say not one of the first things I highlighted because I have a million, but that was like one of the things that stuck with me from the first read through.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then again, with like the audio, yes. I was like, I was waiting for the baby goats. I was like, where are Bert and Ernie? Like, I need him to be cuddling them in that barn. Like, it just did something to me inside.
Oh my God. I know. I loved it. And then especially when he's like, I cried over the damn goats. Like, yeah. At the end, when I heard that on audio, I was like,
I know. Oh, it was so
the acting was thing about is...
So when you like, how did you, I guess, like set up to write this? Like, did you have this idea in your head for a while and you didn't know how to put it down, or did it just come to you kind of on a whim? Like, how, I guess, did the process start with writing it?
For this one, it was kind of multi-step. The first time I ever thought about it was we went on a 4th of July like camping trip a few years back, and we were driving along the Oregon coast, and we went over this like giant green bridge after like super dense, rocky, hilly, windy coastline where like you can't even see out of the trees, and all of a sudden you come out and cross over this big old green bridge, and across the way it looks like somebody like scooped in a desert, and that's Coos Bay and there's sand dunes. And I just kept thinking like, man, Oregon's so weird, but I love it. And there's just so many places along the northern, even like the very northern California coast and Oregon and Washington that I love. And at the same time, the New Moon soundtrack happened to be on because my phone was synced to the truck speakers.
And I was like, this is so fitting.
This is so fitting. Like, and so it just kind of, it was sort of like a location thing stuck in my head. Like, if I could write a small town, a lot of times when you think of a coastal small town, you think of like a cute, beachy, warm, yeah. You know, sunny sort of place. But I was like, man, if I could write an Oregon coastal small town and have it be moody and like, you know, patchy sun, and it'll feel, but and still make it kind of feel summery. I just knew I didn't want to like lean in too hard to just one season. And I wanted it to be a little bit different. That's when it first came to me. And then I think that, like I said, I got signed with a publishing deal. I had all these great, before that even, I started getting to write as my full-time job. So like, I was going through this thing where instead of enjoying what was happening to me and feeling proud, I was constantly in my own head going, well, you better prove that you deserve it. You better outdo yourself. If you already got to do this, you peaked. Like, nobody, you know, it was like this constant sort of thing where it was like, I felt like I had to like justify, you know, that I deserved, you know, or that I earned this success that I had. Because part of this is, especially when you start on the self-publishing side of things, part of it is luck. I know that I write great stories, and I know how much I put into them and everything, but part of it still is luck. Like, not everybody gets to do this, and I had already been able to leave a job that I wasn't happy at to do it, and so I had just... With everything I was getting, I kept feeling like, instead of enjoying it, I kept feeling more pressure. So it's like, I had this idea of something that I wanted, and I wanted to be able to write full time. And I got there, and instead of being able to enjoy it, I just put extra pressure on myself. So I was definitely going through what Fisher was going through. And I kept just thinking of like other industries that are sort of hard to make it in and can feel a little thankless at times, but and a little out of your control, but tap into your creativity while you can also increase your skill and your craft. And it was like, because like for me, I find that my best writing happens when it's something that like I can pull some truth out of. So definitely a chef in a creative role that, especially at like, it's making it to that caliber of a restaurant and getting those accolades in that industry is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
But I also just, like I said, I was sort of like going through it with, and I could relate to that, but I wanted so badly to reach for, to be somebody like Sage, to like be able to just sit in the present and enjoy it and all that. I mean, and so it all just sort of started forming up from there. It was the first time that I started writing something where immediately other characters jumped out at me. I've never, ever, I told myself, I think I've even said it on a podcast before where I was like, I'll probably never write a series because I have so many things that I want to write and ADHD, yeah, and I don't know that I want to be tied down to one place. But
right,
this is the first time that it was like, oh, shit, like these characters all have stories too. So especially, you know, two that jumped out right away. But
yeah,
from there, it just sort of, I kind of had to like lay out the pieces and figure out, at least have a loose idea of where I would want to go in the future so that I didn't mess things up for myself.
So, okay, so we know, I mean, I don't think it's a secret, right? The next book, or is
no,
it?
No, it's not
a
secret. No,
it's so not a secret. I know we're getting Red Alice. Are we also getting a third with the other brothers? Is his name Silas? Did I make that up? I'm bad at names.
No, there's Silas and Micah. I'm working on one. I don't know that I can say, I don't know if I can say who yet, so I won't.
Okay.
But yeah, and I have loose ideas for a few other stories there. So I mean, I have other things too. I don't know if I'll just stay in Spoons for like a bunch of other books. I don't know if I'll take a break.
Goes like in 8 million different directions. We probably have like a murder board, but it's like a book board, and there's like 17 million different ideas you have, and you're just like, which one do I want to do?
Yes, like, it's bad. The thing is, I guarantee every writer that will say the same thing, but if we die, like somebody delete our notes app, because that is the place that would get us locked away.
The notes app in a woman's phone
is so bad. And I don't know.
And I'm like,
I wake up like thinking I have just the most brilliant idea or like the perfect way to get through this one sticky spot in something that I couldn't figure out before. And I'll go to look at it the next morning and it's like, I have no idea what I was trying to say here. No idea. I once had something when I was writing Funny Feelings, I did that though, and it ended up making it into the book where it said, fall lusting after cartoon men in grocery aisle. And I was like, what, like the paper towel guy? Like what was I talking about? What was I thinking about? And then I'm like, all right, I'll work that into the book somewhere.
It's so, I mean, it's corny, but it's true that like laughter is the best medicine. It really can pull you out of like a dark or depressing time. And I mean, I think that's what's so great about books too in general. It's kind of like an escape. And when you like read a book, especially you do this so well where you create these characters who are like very, they feel very human and they're very relatable. And then you do kind of get those, the banter and the humor and the side characters that always kind of add a little like extra depth. It really helps, you know, I think people get through like those like difficult times.
And like you do that across all of your books.
Yeah.
Like it, which is just, you know, you're just on a different level. You know what I mean? Like at least to us, you're just, you know, like Teresa said, we'll keep sucking that dick. But like, it is just like, honestly, like trust in Tara DeWitt. Like if you want just like a good solid read, that's going to give you everything.
Yes.
Read one of her books. You will not be disappointed. And if you are, we will hunt you down and deal with that.
We're now on FBI watch list. Okay, so it's so good. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so sorry for like the bad connections, but we love you. We love your books.
Yes.
And we appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, suckers.